I want to meet the snippets less depressing. I don't know if it can be done.
It can't. It's
it's not us, it's the content.
No, it's us.
No.
It is.
How do we
be two different people?
That's tough. That is tough.
Yeah. It would have to be like, because I've been thinking a lot about this.
Have we started recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, you have to keep this in.
I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm thinking, like, maybe what we need to do is, maybe we need to step back from the face part of it. Because I'm thinking, like, we know, like, the topics are good, the takes are good.
You want us writing a script?
Not a script so much, but, like, certainly I think I could produce a better show than I could record.
you want one of those high stool chairs, one of the kind of, what do you call them? Foldy chair thing.
Like a director's chair.
A director's chair.
Yeah, and a megaphone.
And your legs are crossed.
Yeah, and I'm kind of...
And you have paper in your hand, you're going mad.
Okay, talk about the Jude last minute goal now. Okay, more, you know.
Talk about celebration.
But it's more like, it's people that are maybe bubblier and...
Bubblier than us.
If you can imagine, even bubblier than us.
Champagne people.
Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 184 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason. 184.
184 episodes of this.
The greatest hits.
And actually, over the next couple of weeks, there's a special treat in store for people. So this is the last regular episode of Soccer Cards United.
You going on holidays a treat for everyone else.
Oh, believe me, it's a treat for everyone. For two reasons. One, because there is a 4-part Q&A series coming out over the next 2 weeks.
It's very optimistic.
Hugely a big treat for people. But also the treat is that when I get back, they get a refreshed, revived, rejuvenated Jason.
Wow, we've needed that for some time now.
Yeah, I would say for about a year and a half. So that's exciting. So,
can I say?
Yeah.
I feel great having not been to a card show in a week and a half now.
Yeah.
I genuinely, like, I'm getting stuff done that I haven't been getting done. I'm on top of my game.
Yeah.
If I'm not, you know, cleaning up around the place, buying cards on eBay,
yeah,
tweaking stuff on the website, like, I'm at my best right now that I've been for a long time.
Yeah, you feel as if, like, you're readjusting to
life
at home.
Yeah, I have energy.
Good.
It's great.
Not to say we don't enjoy going to card shows.
We love going to card shows, but they take a lot out of us.
Yes, they come at a great...
A great cost.
Great personal cost. Lots on the show today. We're going to start with Hobby HQ, and we're going to start with Top's Finest. Now, I posted on our Instagram story a picture of the 1-1 Super Factor.
The man
Super Factor for Cristiano Ronaldo, the autograph, Sporting Lisbon kit, the whole lot, hit by Soccer Breakers. And somebody messaged us on Instagram and said, but I thought you didn't like Finest. And I thought the clips have immediately come back to haunt me.
But shows the impact of the clips.
It certainly does. So I thought we'd look at some Finest eBay listings.
For the record, do you like Finest?
Well, I think I've already made myself clear. I don't love it.
I like it.
But here we are. Let's have a look at some of these listings.
The mini box format.
I'm a big fan of the mini box format. The big thing we've brought over this year, I guess, from the baseball side of it, is the man insert.
The man.
Someone
was going mad about no Steven Gerrard, the man, and yet there it is. Shows you what Facebook groups know.
What were they saying?
Well, to be honest, I think they were saying they should have done an autograph, Gerrard. Because people were complaining about, Liverpool fans, it was Liverpool Facebook group, were complaining about the fact that Fabio Carvalho seems to be selected as the autograph all of the time.
For Liverpool.
And they're like, I would love this if it was Steven Gerrard.
Yes.
Not Fabio Carvalho.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they were going mad. I liked it because it was actually a real insight to actual club collectors being like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and how they feel.
How they feel.
I like the design of the man, I have to say.
It's nice.
Every year that Finest comes out, the effusions are
a big
hot topic. And compared to previous designs, I don't think this fusion design is one of the top fusion designs. But I have to say, I don't feel as strongly about it as a lot of Fusion collectors do.
My favourite was the 2019-20. That was the one for me.
People have said this kind of has, looks like Mikhailo Mudryk has some gastrointestinal problems here.
That's a stretch.
Well, I think some of people call this the diarrhea design. Which is, I mean, I don't know if people realise, the people that designed these cards can hear you. They can see what you're writing. Imagine how hard you have to work. They had to work on that, and then someone goes, "Ha, looks like diarrhea." I think they're okay, but I think maybe the Fusions need a rethink.
Yeah, I don't love the prized footballers. If you get rid of that, it looks like a much nicer card.
Yeah, I can see. I can see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Write it on the back, prized footballers. Don't put it. Why is it on the front?
There's too much going on here.
No, but like, there's mentally remove prized footballers from that, okay. And it looks like one of the slickest cards you've seen ever.
Okay, I'm doing that. Oh yeah, it looks great.
Looks great.
That's a good exercise, by the way, friend. I'd recommend doing that. It actually does.
Yeah, just vision it without it.
Yeah, looks a lot better. What other designs have we got here? As always, the parallels really pop. The colour always really pops in finest. We have dual autographs.
Yeah, pretty good.
Jamie Carragher, Virgil van Dijk. The Liverpool fans in that Facebook group must have loved this one.
Yeah, they were delighted. Do you know what? People often like to complain and not praise.
Yeah. Gets more engagement. We also have this, which I think is a really cool... You like this one especially. These finest moments autographs. And this one is Pippo Inzaghi with a brace to seal the 2006-2007 Champions League final.
Let's go!
I think these are great. I think it's a good use of the word finest.
Friend of the show, Malik, hit one of them in a break.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Congrats, Malik.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you know, I like them, the kind of black and white style of them and everything. It's good all around. The only like critique, I guess, we would have on one side is that kind of thing that we said in the clip, which is kind of like the background of all the finest cards always look the same. But from my point of view, that's probably just, that's what finest is. You know what I mean? You don't want it to look like everything else. So my only critique would be getting rid of the text prized footballers.
Because
even in the base, Jason, if you look at a base, one of those, there's one of Ronaldo, you might find it.
This one, the refractor?
Yeah, but like that, yeah, it's a non-fusion. Once again, if you remove... I mean, they're kind of suits because it looks very comic-y and the text kind of suits the comic-iness. But once again, if you remove prized footballer, I think that looks like a better card. Are you not able to envision it without your fingers covering it?
I like to do it like this.
Okay.
I mean, that it's kind of reminding me of that comic book insert from Chrome.
Yes.
I think the fusions...
I would say remove prized footballers on the fusion.
Yes.
Gentlemen?
I think so. I think there's no reason that the prize footballers and fusions need to be linked.
Yeah.
That can just be a different...
Thing.
Because what's the connection? Like...
But for me, it's like... Fusions can still be a parallel of prize footballers, but just remove prize footballer on the fusion because it looks slicker. Like, they did it. Like, in the 2019-20 fusions...
Yes.
They had the star ball in the background.
Uh-huh.
But then for the fusion, they completely removed the star ball. And it's like, great. Now also remove the text prize footballer. Now you have a winner.
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting.
Bit of design knowledge from me.
Yeah. We have a story from poor old Panini. Embattled, beleaguered Panini.
Wounded,
crawling towards, I don't know, something. We found out the other day that the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment...
Vince McMahon's
World Wrestling Entertainment has decided to end its relationship with Panini. This is recently after the NFL Players Association and God knows who else have taken moves against Panini. For more on this, let's go to Sports Collectors Daily and Rich Mueller.
Oh, thank God. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, Panini America has filed a federal lawsuit hoping to block World Wrestling Entertainment in its from terminating its card deal more than 2 years ahead of schedule. Late last month, Panini says it received a letter from WWE indicating the pro wrestling behemoth was ending its deal with the Texas-based card maker over a breach of contract in court papers filed Wednesday, Panini says it was told it hadn't given good faith efforts to utilize its rights to produce physical trading card games and digital trading cards. Panini says WWE is asking to be paid the remaining years of contractual minimum royalty payments totaling $5.6 million. Imagine that. So WWE are saying, not only can you not make cards for us anymore, we also want $5.5 million.
Jesus.
Panini, of course, claims that they haven't breached the four-year agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And Panini's attorneys write, at no point did WWE identify any deficiencies in Panini's performance, complain about a failure to launch certain products or engage in any particular activities, or protest about any alleged failures by Panini to perform under the agreement. So, yeah, this is tough. This is part of a pattern.
Yeah.
For Panini.
Don't love that for Panini.
Yeah.
They are really getting just wrecked.
They are getting wrecked. Yeah. So Panini are now suing the WWE to stop them from taking the license away, and because they're saying that they've done nothing to breach the agreement and therefore they've no legal basis. Let's go for more to Paul Lesko, the hobby lawyer.
Oh yeah, do you know what, I just followed him recently on Twitter. I don't know how we had not followed him back. That's shocking. And I felt like we followed him because he's always on the timeline.
He's always on the podcast.
Only yesterday did I follow him back. Shows what kind of guys we are.
Huh.
Shocking.
So he came in with another WWE versus Panini update. He says, they're coming in hot now. WWE wasted no time getting its case on file, and it looks like a temporary restraining order hearing will be tomorrow. So I don't really know that. Okay. WWE is asking the court to stop Panini from basically doing anything with WWE's trademarks, copyrights, or IP, and that Panini stop representing on its website that it is licensed by the WWE. So Panini, potentially, I guess that's today, Panini and WWE are in court, and Panini would have to stop using all WWE-related stuff if the restraining order is granted.
Like, WWE are a very large organization.
This is crazy.
I think that's an understatement. But I like to think that they have good lawyers.
So, what happens is, WWE say, hey Panini, we're not happy with you anymore. We're ending our agreement because you've breached our agreement. We're ending it 2 years early. And we want you to pay us $5.5 million as if the agreement
continued
all the way. Panini then sued WWE, and then WWE are saying, okay, while they're suing us, we want them to have to stop using all WWE stuff anyway, which means WWE are obviously confident of winning the eventual lawsuit. This is tough. This is tough for Panini.
Do you think all of these things are connected?
I mean, it's hard not to. I'm not a paranoid man. I'm not a generally conspiracy-minded guy, but it's hard not to feel the unseen hand of various other hobby forces in the background here.
Oh my god, conspiracy?
He who shall not be named is out there
pulling some strings.
I think so.
Making some phone calls.
I think it's almost like, I think
you think it wouldn't be very wide of the mark for the people in Panini to try to add this to a list of defenses in their monopoly case?
I would say they're certainly looking at
ways, and they probably won't be able to find a way. But you're saying that there is a connection out there, but you'll never find it.
You'll never find it. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, at what point does, because I don't think WWE are going to stop making trading cards for themselves. I don't think that's what they want. I don't think they're looking to do that.
You don't think that's what they want?
I don't think that Vince McMahon has just said, and I'm not making any more trading cards.
Off the top rope?
Yeah, off the top rope. I think somebody is kind of skulking around the ring with a chair, ready to smash it over the head of Panini.
Oh my god. Right now it feels like a Royal Rumble. And yeah. Panini were thrown out a long time ago.
It's tough.
And I don't love it. Or Panini are in there, and suddenly everyone else that's in the ring have decided, we're going to throw that to one person out.
Yeah.
That's my analogy.
Right.
That's my Royal Rumble analogy. Do you think it's kind of a case of, you chip away at enough of their licenses, and they eventually get to a point where they say, yeah, we still have some licenses, but yeah, we can't run this ship anymore.
I don't know. I don't know what the idea is here. Is it to weaken them to a point where they have...
They're limping
and they've nothing left to...
To give. It's confusing because, like, sorry to cut you off, but, like, it felt like for the longest time everyone thought that Fanatics would buy Topps and Panini.
Yes.
To keep all those powerful Panini brands.
Yeah.
The problem is, with situations like this now, where it's like the NFLPA,
mm-hmm.
which, can I say, I'm on Panini's website right now.
Yeah.
They have that under their officially licensed, and I feel like that logo never used to be there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But all of the Players Association logos are now on the officially licensed there.
And you feel like they might have just put that up for spite?
Maybe. I don't remember seeing it before, but I might be wrong, so I won't say anything.
Okay.
But do you think that now, with all of these kind of lawsuits, like WWE suing Panini, right, for example, that now Fanatics buy Panini?
Yeah.
WWE still don't want, and the Players Association, the NFL, still don't want to be partnered with Panini, even though now it's owned by someone else. It's kind of like, are we seeing that they're saying, we're not going to buy you, you're just going to die?
Yeah, I mean, this is an odd strategy if they are trying to acquire Panini's brand. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a case that they wanted to acquire Panini's brand, and now they're not. And now it's just like, we just want the licenses because we want to produce all of the sports cards that we can.
I suppose it's like, if they want Panini or if they don't want Panini, this doesn't bar them from using Panini in future.
Okay.
Do you know, so I think it's like weakening Panini. And by the way, there's no evidence that Fanatics have anything to do with this.
No, it's purely speculative.
Purely speculative, because it just seems like, you know, but it's also one of those things where, like, you know,
well, they're involved in some way, even if it's not direct. It's like, who is the best candidate to take the license then? It's going to be Fanatics. So, like, even if you don't want to say that they've caused anything to happen up to this point,
yeah,
they're in the room still, because chances are that's where the license will go.
And it also shows, I think, the power of Fanatics and the progress they've been making in the hobby, because WWE may have done all of this all completely of their own accord.
Yeah.
But that's when you know you have, like, an incredible amount of power and influence. When people are doing things that are in your interest, even without you asking or trying to get them to do it.
Yeah, it's like you want to be on that team.
Yeah. So I think it's a tough day for...
the boys at Panini.
For the boys at Panini, yeah.
Would you expect the UFC license? I don't like tying them together because people are like, you know, wrestling, UFC, they're the same. But would you expect, like, Dana White and the gang over there,
mm-hmm.
can't remember the name of the IGM or something, I can't remember, who bought UFC off the Fertittas. But would you expect Dana White to now kind of... Because the thing is, with WWE and UFC, Topps used to manufacture them, and they then made that decision to then give it to Panini in recent times, like in the last 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever. In the last decade, they've swapped from Topps to Panini.
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess, like, I've from what I've seen of the UFC organization, they are pretty...
flimsy.
Pretty flimsy and pretty fickle. So I don't think that if it comes to it, I mean,
they're not going to be the last stand.
No.
Unless like Dana White, I don't know how much power he has in it, but if he has like a beef with he who should not be named,
yeah,
then I would imagine a lot of ego, you know, a lot of
yes,
ego would prevent it. But I don't think that to be the case.
No,
I don't know though.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it's another difficult day for Panini fans.
There is something actually related to this, Jason.
Okay.
That might be of interest to you.
Right.
I am going to say, how do I do this? If you... I'm going to add this to our email. I don't know if you've seen this.
Okay.
Dum, dum, dum. Okay.
For the listener, I'm now going to look at a document or something that Enzo has put into...
This might already be on your agenda. If it is, I'm very sorry. But I don't think it is. I think you missed this.
Oh, it's not that.
No, I'm opening... Now there is officially a screenshot in our drafts.
Okay.
Just for you. And this could be related to Panini, because it could be related to national team licenses. You can ignore, don't name anything here.
Okay.
Just an email. I thought you cropped out all the names.
Alright. So this is...
Do you want me to crop it without the names and then we can...
No.
You can put it on screen then, though.
But I can just read it and we can...
Okay.
What I have here in front of me
ladies and gentlemen, appears to be an email of sorts,
and this has come from someone who received this email.
Yes.
Okay, so this is an email that says, we regret to inform you that Topps has opted not to produce the 2022 Bowman Chrome Road to UEFA Under 21 product this year. We've been informed of the decision this week, so the product's been removed from your order and you'll be refunded. We apologise for any inconvenience. So, this is somebody who pre-ordered 2022 Bowman Chrome Road to UEFA Under 21.
Yeah.
And isn't getting it.
It's not getting it.
And I guess this would be the first time that we've seen anyone be formally told
that they're shelving it. It said this year, so it doesn't mean they're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
But that it's gone on the shelf. It's not.
So for anyone who was waiting on that Bowman Chrome,
because it's been in our release calendar and it's been kind of a can kicked down the road of the release calendar consistently. It's always there, but it's always moving. Officially scrapped for now. I think it's important to say for now. Kind of like officially, that company were like, we're not going to keep holding your money. We're going to just give it back.
Postponed indefinitely.
And presumably and assumingly, it's because of the issues that we're having with like licenses with national teams.
Yes.
Because Panini seem to have a lot of those licenses. Whereby, even if you have the competition license, for some reason, you're not allowed to use the nation license.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bizarre. Because that's kind of the opposite of club competition. So maybe the likes of the under 20s, under 21 Euros, the World Cup, whatever the Euros, whatever the case may be, maybe the league don't have as stringent rules and licensing as like club leagues do, like the Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga.
Yeah.
They're probably more technically professional organizations, kind of, that probably more modern with their licensee saying if you're in this league.
Well, I think they're just probably more commercial.
But that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Premier League is like, no, this is our money.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have an exclusive City license and then not let, no. You're the Premier League, we have you.
Interesting.
But that is fascinating. So that appears to be, I know a lot of people are like, we knew this already because it's been so long, but it's like, no, it's kind of the first official kind of verbal statement of this is not coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like licenses
are confusing.
Licenses are confusing, and from the very earliest days of this podcast, we've been talking about licenses, and whenever we do come across a licensing issue, the conversation kind of tends to grind to a halt because it's so confusing and so dense and so unclear.
Yeah, and I think that's like, we're running into that problem a lot more with soccer because there's so many different leagues and therefore so many different licenses, and there's so many different divisions and so many different competitions that there's so many licenses, whereas different sports don't necessarily deal with the same.
Yeah, it seems like we spend a lot of time talking about licenses, but I don't imagine baseball card podcasts do.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Must be nice to be them.
Must be very nice. Well, not with Shohei injured. There you go.
No, true.
Look at that bit of knowledge from me. Yes, I welcome.
Okay, and so you wanted to tell us about this big F1 auction that was going on.
We were at the National and we walked around many a time in Chicago looking for soccer, looking for F1. We did not find a lot of either. We definitely found more soccer than F1 until we eventually stumbled across, as many other people listening to this that were also in Chicago, stumbled across one of the greatest table of F1 cards you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. Only for the person who was manning that table to tell you, none of these are for sale though. Here's a leaflet, we're going to do a big auction. We were devastated, but also excited. We respected it and we said, wow, a big auction.
So this was Liahi 51513.
This auction officially took place. We actually missed it, basically, because now it's over. We're talking about it. We didn't build into it. So sorry for the lack of marketing we could have potentially provided. My apologies for that. Although, it seemed to be well covered on the socials, especially in the F1 circles. And it was a huge auction, the likes of which we had never seen for F1.
Yeah, and I believe as well some of the proceeds went towards relief for the Maui hurricane. Was it a hurricane or was it a fire?
What tsunami? Are you talking about Morocco or Libya or something else?
Hawaii.
Oh, I don't know.
Was it fires or was it? Let me just one sec.
Let's find out what happened.
Maybe Maui natural disaster.
Oh my
Maybe
god!
Maybe it wasn't even Maui. Oh, it was. Wind whipped wildfires, destroyed much of the Hawaiian island of Maui. I believe some of the proceeds of this
went there,
which is very admirable.
Very admirable.
Some of these cards are unbelievable.
Some of the sales are unbelievable as well.
So the most expensive sale on the auction was 417.99. So basically, just about $42,000
for a Lewis Hamilton 2020 Dynasty in a PSA 10, number to 10, is it? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, 6 of 10.
2020 Dynasty is goated. 2020 F1 is goated. A lot of people talk about the F1 market. Is it up? Is it down? Verstappen's dominating, so the sport's boring. Da, 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 da. A lot of these cards are still doing silly, silly amounts of money.
Yeah, well, Lewis Hamilton is still has his
GOAT status.
Yeah.
But still, like, an of 10 Dynasty selling for 42,000.
Amazing.
It's crazy.
For context, how rare is a 10-10 in Dynasty like this? Rare.
I think autographs are mostly 10s, but I think condition is tough for all Dynasty, I'm pretty sure.
Ticker cards are. Even though this is an of 10.
Yeah, but to get 42,000 on it is still insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, PSA 10 helps.
I love this.
As we see with this one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of this is the grade as well. I mean, the patch as well.
So this is Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc in 2020 Topps Dynasty for Ferrari. Two unbelievable patches.
Yeah.
And this is 1-1 and it's a 10-10.
So like, in fairness, you're looking at that. It's a 1-1. It's a 10-10. Amazing patches. You're saying it's Charles's rookie, and then you're saying it's one of the all-time greats in Vettel.
Yeah.
So that's a huge piece. But again, if you're talking about an F1 market that's down, that's a crazy price for that card. In a good way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with the F1 market is that it's down in a kind of on the ground level.
Yeah.
But at the height of it, which kind of makes sense when you think about F1 in general, it's a kind of an elite sport.
True.
So the collecting is going to be elite. It's the opposite of soccer as a sport and as a collecting
base.
It's not really the people's sport in any way.
Yeah.
And these are not the people's cards. Do you know what I mean? Like, these are, it's a...
You know, it ties in perfectly.
Yeah. So we're seeing that, like, there's a reason why all these high-end prices are doing well. Yeah.
When you see that Max then in third place, you kind of acknowledge that the PSA 10 on the other two gave them a premium.
Yes. That's a PSA 9 Max at 1 of 5. Still, I mean, 20 grand.
Yeah, crazy.
Pretty good stuff. And then there's a Charles there for 8.5. And then our first superfractor is Lewis Hamilton 2020.
That's a 70th superfractor.
So 70th superfractor. Yeah, yeah. Explain what that is to us.
In 2020, Formula One, it was the 70th anniversary of Formula One, I believe.
Okay.
So they had this, you see the underneath the top scroll, the 70th logo.
Yeah.
So in 2020, they had the classic 1-of-1 superfractor. As you see, there's no number at the back of that one.
Unnumbered.
That's unnumbered, but they made superfractors of the 70th version as well.
But only one.
Some cards have two.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that was meant to be like that, but some seem to have two. And wow. I don't think every card has a 70th superfractor. It's a bit of a weird one, but...
So these are kind of just... The 70th superfractors are out there.
In the world, yeah. There's one or two of them. And
or maybe none of them.
Yeah. So they're rare. They're basically as rare as a superfractor, pretty much. Do you know? So it makes sense that there's a big price on that.
I love on this Carlos Sainz, this Estrella Galicia patch. That's cool.
Those track tags, for example, we know some high-end F1 collectors that didn't even know they were numbered, right? They only had ever seen base track tags. Track tags do not appear in Sapphire, only appear in Chrome. So you see them here. This one's numbered to 5, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, 1 of 5.
I don't think I've ever seen a 1-of-1 track tag, but apparently they do exist, I think. Right. And some people are speculating, because there was some collation issues with that product. I don't know if you remember seeing... There was one guy who opened a case and every box or every packet had a printing plate.
Yes, I do remember that.
So people are thinking a lot of the 1-of-1s might be in like one box of the track tags.
Oh, wow.
Do you know, like track tag 1-of-1, I'm pretty sure. I might pull up the checklist just to nostalgia it, but I'm pretty sure there is 1-of-1 track tags. But I've never seen one.
Yeah, there's an all 50 track tags here.
But like just numbered track tags are super rare, especially because they're not in... Chrome, which is why you're seeing big sale prices for them.
They're not in Sapphire.
They're not in Sapphire, sorry.
Yeah. The track tag is kind of an iconic insert.
It looks so good. And they didn't bring it back in the next year. So again, it's similar to the logos, which became kind of iconic, is that they only did them year one, which was such a clever move.
Really nice to see.
There's Superfractor 1-of-1 track tags, Jason. And I've never seen one.
You've never seen one?
And there is 15 drivers on that checklist.
Hmm.
So that's kind of like, yeah. So to see an L5 or a gold, there's only gold, gold wave, orange 25, red, superfractor, and printing plates.
Yeah. Okay.
And like they were one in six packs, like the normal track tag, and obviously your refractor. But yeah, the 101s, I've never seen one. There might be a couple out there, but I've never seen them.
Okay, so if you've seen a super refractor track tag, send it in so we can look at it. Well, very excited. This was a fantastic auction. Looks like it was very well run as well, and obviously got a lot of interest from the F1 community. So congratulations to all involved on that. Okay, now, Enzo.
Yes.
David Beckham, part owner of Inter Miami, English footballing legend, is bringing out a new documentary. Well, he's not bringing out a new documentary, but a new documentary being brought out on Netflix about David Beckham. Netflix has released the first trailer for its upcoming documentary series on David Beckham. Directed by Fisher Stevens, who also directed Cove and Before the Flood, the four-part series features interviews and never-before-seen archive footage of the past 40 years of David Beckham's life. A synopsis goes like this. Beckham, a four-part documentary series, tells the inside story of a global football star and cultural icon. David Beckham is one of the most well-known names on the planet, yet few people know who he really is. From his humble working-class beginnings in East London, his drive and determination to win, and the battle to find balance between ambition, love, and family, David's story is one of immense ups and downs. The series takes you on that roller coaster and builds a surprising personal and definitive story of one of the most recognizable and scrutinized athletes of all time. We've discussed documentaries for players before. Neymar, Rooney, Messi, they've all had documentaries. But David Beckham, I would say, in terms of certainly in across the water in Britain, was as much a cultural figure, like for the last 30 years or whatever, as he has been a footballing one. Because his marriage, he married a Spice Girl and all that. So like, I feel like he has like a, he's like a big, big cultural figure, even if you don't know football or anything about football. If you ask like 100 people who don't know football to name a footballer, they would say David Beckham. Do you know what I mean? So this is very interesting to see. Do we really think stuff like this moves the needle on card prices?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. I think that's probably the right answer.
It definitely does. But not tremendously, but definitely can make people kind of appreciate a player more and want to collect their stuff. Especially like that a lot of people, like it's going to be on Netflix, a lot of people probably weren't watching football around the David Beckham time. They watch something like this, they kind of have a better understanding for why some of his card prices are where they are now in a good way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would definitely, it helps. It doesn't, any form of marketing of a player doesn't do any harm.
Assuming.
It's positive marketing.
Yeah, like I mean, Anthony, he might not come out well out of this.
Yeah, but I think he will.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Last on Hobby HQ. You wanted to tell us about a new grading option for people in the EU.
A new grading option officially for people in the EU. Jason, I was chilling the other day, enjoying not travelling for different card shows and whatnot. And I came across a timeline that an account, a company in France, seemed to be promoting themselves now officially as an official PSA dealer.
Hmm. Exciting.
So an official PSA connection in France. So you're trying to grow the hobby in France. How do you do it? This is one of the ways to do it. And it is the Grading Card Center. Am I right in saying that? Grading
Card Center.
Grading Card Center.
GCC.
GCC. You need those three letter abbreviations. Are an official PSA dealer. Now, obviously, not being in France, we're not as familiar with them, I don't think.
No.
I don't remember seeing them at shows, but they must have been there. And presumably a lot of people in France, whether it's sports or trading cards, have been submitting with these guys. Similar to the way we probably do stuff at our card shows. And similar to the way you kind of see it all around the place. And PSA, obviously they've gone into communications. Someone in PSA speaks French and a deal was struck.
Or they speak English.
Maybe. But I mean, I'm going to say they speak French.
Okay, so that's very exciting for those few listeners that we have in France. Get your cards in there if you want to, or submit yourself or do whatever you want. But it's good to see PSA reaching out consistently into the European market.
It is a benefit, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember we were talking about them opening a Dublin office maybe two or more years ago on the show.
Yeah.
And never
Nat Turner gave it the like.
Yeah.
But but that was all of that.
That was all that happened.
Devastating.
Now there's bloody, you can submit your cards of PSA through the Dutch or through the French. What about us?
What is going
on?
We've
been on here for years.
Years. Begging. And we've been doing it. We just sent off 120 cards to PSA.
Yeah.
Matt Turner, if you're watching this, reach out.
Okay.
Reach out.
Good.
Give me better rates. Let me look after the Irish people.
Yeah. That's all we want.
In a better way than we
purely,
already are.
Purely noble intentions.
Come on.
Okay, so that is it for Hobby HQ. I'll start you off on your football week with a couple of stats.
A few stats?
From Opta, some Opta content.
Okay.
Which I always like. These are two players we've all definitely heard of. So, Julian Alvarez.
What a player, by the way.
Attempted 8 shots and created 7 chances against Red Star Belgrade, becoming only the 3rd player on record from 2000, they only started counting 2003, 2004, to hit both totals in a single Champions League game after Karim Benzema and Aaron Robben. So there you go. It's only been done 3 times that you've attempted 8 shots and created 7 chances in the Champions League since 2003. Karim Benzema, Aaron Robben, and now Julian Alvarez.
I could have sworn one of the Milan players had that against Newcastle as well, with the amount of shots we had.
We'll certainly get on to that. So a dominant performance from Julian Alvarez in the Champions League for Man City.
And he's been flying since the start of the season.
Certainly has. And second stat for you is, aged 20 years and 83 days old, Jude Bellingham is the youngest player to score a 90th minute winning goal for Real Madrid in the Champions League.
That's such a specific stat.
And the youngest Englishman to do so in the competition for any side.
Clinical.
Wow.
Yeah, he's flying as well. Speaking of people flying.
He's flying as well. So let's go through some of the Champions League games and have a chat about them. I'm not sure which ones you watched and which ones I watched and all that stuff.
You don't know which ones you watched?
Well, I have an idea, yeah. Do you want to start with Milan-Newcastle?
Suppose we can.
Yes.
Dominant performance from Milan without being spectacular. Dominate in terms of shots on target. But ultimately very flat.
Yeah, lacking incisiveness.
Yeah, it didn't look like scoring. You know, the game could have went on for a very long time. Didn't look like scoring. Looked like scoring a little bit on counterattacks, but not really. Newcastle didn't look out of water in the Champions League, I suppose you could say.
I would say it was a very competent away performance from Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to the San Siro and you're keeping a point.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But yeah, disappointing not to win because it is a tough group. You want to win your home games. But disappointing start to the Champions League campaign, but not detrimental, I would say.
Yeah. I did notice that Giroud, I don't know whether Giroud, I don't know what the story is, but it seemed like Giroud was not being utilised properly by the other players.
Yeah, no. Chukwueze on the right wing was dreadful.
Yeah.
Anytime he got the ball, the play broke down.
I
hate players that have pace, have a bit of dribbling, and don't know what they're doing, and don't have a bit of cup on, don't have a bit of composure, are wasteful. That's one of the things I hate in football so much.
Yeah.
And he's one of those little bastards.
Well, he's not. But he has been in his past, and I thought he'd grown out of it. Because he had a good season last season. But like, when I heard that they'd signed him, I thought, okay, I mean, blind alleys and all that. It's, you know, he's a lot of running, not a lot of end product. And I was so disappointed to watch him, because I'm like, this is exactly
what you used to do.
A stereotypical Chukwueze performance.
Yeah. Especially when you have Giroud in the box. Like, you put any kind of quality in there,
yeah,
a goal will happen.
That's what I mean. I saw a lot of people trying to go themselves, and I'm like, what's the point in playing with Olivier Giroud? You're dropping a man in terms of mobility around the pitch and in terms of lots of different aspects of the game. You're carrying Giroud only because if the ball falls to him, he will score.
Yeah.
And
or he'll hold it up and
or he'll hold it up off, and someone else can come in. Like, but they completely negated any positive effect he could have, and it just meant that they looked like they were playing with 10 men for a lot of the game.
Yeah, it was rough. It was very rough. Like, when you talk about a game where we had so many shots, how many of them were Giroud shots? Not a lot. There was one where he like ended up running from the halfway line and just took a shot himself, and yeah. I was like, Giroud doesn't do that.
No.
Giroud's not meant to run with the ball, carry the ball, and shoot, but it's because you are carrying the ball and not giving it to him, so yes, he has to.
Exactly.
Shocking.
But
I'm confident we're getting out of this group.
Good. You didn't see anything terminal?
No.
Okay, good stuff. Sandro Tonali made his return to San Siro.
Oh, he looked great.
Good player, that fella.
He got a good reception.
Yeah. You might say it was a disappointing start for you, but you didn't have a goalkeeper score against you in the 95th minute. Ivan Provedel for Lazio put the ball in the net and saved a 1-1 draw against Atletico, and I just thought to myself, that's about right. That is about right.
Ooh, a Benevento goalkeeper once scored against us, though, late.
It can happen.
It can happen.
It can happen. The goal from Atletico came from Pablo Barrios, who was a rookie in 22-23 and is a very tidy little central midfielder.
Okay.
I would not recommend buying his cards unless you're an Atletico fan.
Okay.
But nice to see an academy product make it into the first team, because that has not happened very often under Diego Simeone. I can tell you that much. Mm. The other game in your group was PSG Dortmund.
Yes.
And we had goals from Achraf Hakimi and Kylian Mbappe, as they beat Dortmund 2-0. A very uninspired looking Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
I just caught the last kind of 15 minutes of this game, and
they don't look... That's what I'm saying. I don't think they're trouble in this group.
No, I don't think so. I don't need to worry about them. It was the first time we saw Mbappe, Muani and Dembele up front together. And Ousmane Dembele had a good game. But he also had one of those games where it's like... You don't know if the good stuff he did and the bad stuff he did were so closely related to each other.
Mm.
You know, that's...
That's Dembele.
That's Dembele for you. What are, oh, 5-0 for Barcelona against Mark Val Bommel's Royal Antwerp. Two goals for Joao Felix, a goal for Robert Lewandowski.
Felix is doing good things.
He's doing good things.
Keep an eye on him.
We'll have to see what happens, but he's had a sparkling start to life at... Yeah.
Gavi with a goal as well. That's a rookie.
Yeah.
From last year.
From the year before last.
21, was it?
Yeah, 21-22.
They grow up fast.
They grow up fast, yeah.
They grow up very fast.
Let me see what else we had. We had Benjamin Sesko scoring a goal for RB Leipzig as they won 3-1 in Switzerland against Young Boys.
Get in.
And Man City had to come from behind.
Yeah.
Against Sferna Vesta.
And they did it.
And they did it.
Unbelievable.
The Etihad was rocket, I'd say. two goals for Julian Alvarez and a goal for Rodri, who is just incredible.
Yeah, he's so good.
But
Julian Alvarez,
I mean, dominant performance. Really,
it's so hard to hype him up when Haaland's in the same team, causing absolute havoc week in, week out.
Yeah.
But Alvarez is unbelievable.
I think, like, if you look at that performance from Alvarez the other night, Haaland's never going to give that performance.
Mm.
He's a, you know, Alvarez can do it. Can do more than Haaland.
Carry the ball.
He can carry the ball. He can create chances. He can move better. And I think in time could become a more important player.
Yeah, they're saying that he's kind of taken over the De Bruyne creativity role, kind of yes. Behind the striker, and that's Yasta because they don't have him. But like,
we didn't really know he could do that.
No, he's just unbelievable all around. He's such a young player, such a talented player, and he's won it all. He's won it all at such a young age.
He has won it all.
So we love that. And he has a lot of cool rookie cards. I know he has a lot of rookie cards. Yes, but he has a lot of cool ones. He has World Cup Prisms. He has Selects. He has Topps Chromes. He has it all.
There was certainly time to give him all the coolest rookie cards.
Yeah.
Speaking of looking at Haaland versus Alvarez, right? And one of the things that I know you will have paid attention to, Enzo, is that Haaland is much taller than Julian Alvarez.
Yeah.
And I was going through my, you know... newsfeed or whatever, and I saw this interesting quote from Diego Maradona.
Let's go.
On Argentina's philosophy. He says, "Once you are too tall at Argentina's academy, we already know that you won't be a good footballer. It's impossible for taller players to practice close control at full speed. We believe that low gravity will make you impossible to stop. If you are tall, you can be very good, or we can try you as a goalkeeper. Every country has its philosophy. Other countries, they prefer only giants to score corners and play boring long balls, but not us."
Wow.
So, there you go. I'm not going to get too much into that because long-term listeners of the show will know what that refers to.
Wow. That's the thing I misunderstood was Argentina's fundamental football philosophy.
Yes.
That was my mistake.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
That's why they won the World Cup.
There you go.
There you go.
Let's see what else happened in the Champions League. Arsenal returned to live the Champions League with a 4-0 win over PSV Eindhoven.
Your beloved Arsenal.
My beloved Arsenal. goals from Bukayo Saka, Leandro Trossard, Gabriel Jesus and Martin Odegaard.
Very, 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 very good performance from Arsenal.
Yes.
Like, PSV, decent team, decent players.
Yeah.
They put on a Champions League clinic.
I mean, coming back into the Champions League, I guess, can be difficult.
Not when your front three score.
But not when your front three score. I mean, and to step kind of immediately, you know.
A lot of people were complimentary of Noah Lang's performance. The Lang gang were out in force on the timeline.
Yeah.
They were saying this kid, they basically said, whatever, this kid's great, but where's his end performance? Where's his goal?
When's it going to happen?
When's it going to happen?
I know.
Don't know.
Real Madrid and Jude Bellingham, we mentioned, defeated Union Berlin in a very, very tight game with the Bernabeu, which did have a feeling towards the end that a goal is coming. This has, you know.
Union Berlin with new signing Bonucci.
Yeah. Had an excellent game, and the goal came after he came off.
Yeah, it was the first Champions League game ever for Union Berlin, who have had an incredible rise through the German league ranks.
Hipster favourite, Union Berlin.
Hipster favourite, all the way. Like, that's the Frosinone model, Jason. We're hoping to be there in a few years' time. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Playing against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. Imagine. That could be us. But yeah, Jude Bellingham continuing his barnstorming start to life at Real Madrid. The fans love him.
They love him.
His celebration, they're doing it back to him in the crowd. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that.
I did.
And it's just, he is that guy.
He really is.
At the moment.
And he was, you should have seen him. He was arguing, he was throwing his weight around. At one point, the keeper, Ronaldo, the Union keeper, went down after corner. He and Bellingham collided at a corner. Bellingham was going mad. And you could see very clearly on the slow motion replay, just Bellingham was going, "You fucking prick." It was amazing. Jude Bellingham's just like taking the life at Real Madrid by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, he has adapted to Spanish football very fast.
And he's completely comfortable. But I guess he came up with the championship.
That's true.
He played for Birmingham City when he was 16. So like, what are you going to do to him that some fella for Plymouth didn't already do to him? Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
He's been to Peterborough away.
Unbelievable. To be honest, and it's actually something that's interesting to say, like, I'm turning on Real Madrid matches just to watch them play.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously you're always watching Real Madrid, like, when they're on, but like at the minute they're a bit toothless, especially without Vinny Jr. He's injured. No Benzema anymore. But it's like, you turn that on, he is blockbuster still.
Yeah.
He is strolling around the park looking like he's a level above everyone else. And that's insane to do at Real Madrid.
Dominating games.
Unbelievable. Bayern hosted Man United, Jason.
Yeah.
My brother's a big United fan, so I was watching that one. The scoreline does not reflect the game. At all.
Not at all.
I don't know how United got 3 goals.
4-3 in the end.
4-3 in the end. United are in big trouble. Yeah, they have for many a year now looked like a team of decent players thrown together poorly, and it's like there's a cancer in that club that just cannot be fixed. There's no style of play. There's no rhythm, there's no functionality, there's no identity. I feel like Roy Keane.
And there's no particularly good players.
No. Like, I mean, there is and isn't, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think, maybe there are players that could thrive under the right circumstances. And you know, Rasmus Højlund scored and has had a good start to life at Manchester United. It's very difficult to play there. He's very young.
It's very hard to be a striker for Man United. Someone pointed out that over the last like 7 seasons, Marcus Rashford, they're basically blaming Rashford for all of the strikers at United doing bad. They're like, yeah, all these strikers have all performed bad, but realistically, one of your creative players on the left wing is Marcus Rashford, who just likes to cut in and try and score and doesn't cross the ball.
Yeah, I did have a moment watching this game, which I very rarely kind of think poorly of Marcus Rashford. But I was watching this game and I was like, do you know what? Enough of this. Enough of this. I've just been watching you do this for the last, since you came on as a substitute against Mitch Ireland back in the day. Like,
yeah.
It's just enough of this. You have to, another option is
Develop.
You have to develop. You have to add something to your game.
You can't just be on the left wing, run, and then try cutting on the right foot.
Unless you score
all the time.
All the time. If you're Thierry Henry, feel free to do that.
If you're Ian Robin.
Yeah. If you're Kylian Mbappe, do what you like. But you're not, you're Marcus Rashford.
So
add something to your game.
Yeah, that's upsetting. Because like, if you look at a team, in fairness, you would say Casemiro's great.
Not at the moment.
No, but he scored 2 goals. But it's like, it's hard to be okay in that midfield. Like, you're next to, with all due respect, Christian Eriksen, who has a pacemaker in.
Yeah. Casemiro came back from preseason, obviously wasn't fit. Looks like his legs have turned to lead and has been asked to do a huge amount of work.
Yeah, no, not good.
So it doesn't make any sense.
Onana with a howler, not good.
Oh my god, that fella.
I like the left back though. Reguilón looked okay.
Yeah, Sergio Reguilón's not it.
No, I think I'm just so used to seeing them play with Luke Shaw.
Mm.
And just seeing someone that's willing to overlap.
I noticed that United fans were very excited to tell us all how good Lisandro Martinez was.
Mm.
But he just seems to be a kind of an angry caricature at the minute. You know, he's got that bit of like Bruno Fernandes disease.
Yeah, it's not.
Going around shouting at people as if that'd make up for conceding 4 goals.
Yeah, like defend.
Yeah. Stop shouting at him.
And the team is in the bin. Like, it's like it'd be very, very difficult to perform well in that team. That's my take.
And yet, the team is made up of the players. So,
yeah.
You know.
I know, but it's like, how do you fix that? It's like, you need to change everyone. Do you know what I mean? That's how it feels.
Yeah. Or I thought the reason that Ten Hag was brought in was to coach them.
But he's a bald fraud.
He's a bald fraud.
He is a bald fraud.
Because
like you look at Bayern. Yeah. And no matter what, they always know exactly how they're playing. They know exactly what they're doing. It doesn't really matter what 11 is on the pitch. It doesn't matter who they sign, who they bring in. They're always going to perform to a certain level.
Well, I don't think they would share that view in Germany. I think that's a testament to Bayern Munich, is that that's how it looks.
All the time.
All the time. It they almost have, Bayern Munich have like a stature where it's like, they're like the duck, you know, they're very calm above the water. But there's a lot of hard work and a lot of
going on underneath.
Chaos goes on underneath.
I will say the two standout performances, Jason.
Yeah.
Would be, of course, Jamal Musiala.
Unbelievable.
And tied in with him was Alphonso Davies, who had another one of his performances where he was the roadrunner and no one could do anything. Like, there was no point even running at him because he's like, I am levels above all of you people.
Mm.
He was really good. Defensively, really good,
should I say. I thought Upamecano beside Kim Min-jae looks a lot more confident than he has beside other...
Sule.
Yeah, beside other partners, yeah. Goal and assist for Harry Kane. Goal for Serge Gnabry and a goal for Leroy Sané.
Mm.
I have to say, I really enjoyed watching Bayern tick over.
Yeah, it was great.
And
they were constant.
Yeah.
Do you mean they didn't really let United rest? There was always three people running directly towards the other goal. Like, it was all action.
Yeah.
It was great.
Good stuff. I mean,
with a base of that defence followed by Kimmich and Goretzka.
Yeah.
And in the, like, it's just a very, very well balanced team. I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, Benfica, Salzburg, the top of them. Rocco Simic scored a penalty. I believe he's a rookie in 22-23. And he also had a goal for Oscar Gluck, who is 19 and I believe will be a rookie in the upcoming releases. Who scored for Galatasaray of their new guys? Let me see.
Apparently all the goals were blockbuster in that game.
Yeah, tends to be when Turkish teams are involved. It's always bangers for some reason. Okay, Ajax and Marseille drew 3-3. Brighton got unexpectedly beaten by AEK Athens. 2 goals for João Pedro.
It's not easy to step up.
No, AEK Athens are Europa League veterans. You can't just walk in and take over them. Any other exciting results? Bayer Leverkusen beat Hacken 4-0. Roma, Lukaku scored the winning goal away against Sheriff, FC Sheriff. So, exciting to see European club football back in full swing, I think.
Very much so.
And thus concludes episode 184 of Soccer Cards United. Check out soccercardsunited.com. Lots of new products up there.
Every day.
Lightning quick shipping.
Faster than Alphonso Davies.
Meep meep. Our shipping goes meep meep.
There you go.
Okay, bye-bye.